Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. So excited to share the Word of God with you today. So I hope you have your cup of joe. Now listen, it's a new year. I'm changing it up a little bit. I got a little green tea action going today. So if I say anything ridiculous, I'm just going to blame it on the green tea. But I hope you have your cup of joe or your beverage of choice and you have your Bible ready because we're going to get into the Word of God. As you remember, hopefully you recall last week we began a new series we've just called the Purpose Trilogy. And it's what God's designed you to do. And we said that there's three things. You've been created by God, to love people, and to live your life on a mission. And listen, I just got to take a moment here briefly to state the obvious. Just call me Captain Obvious this morning. But I was message prepping on Wednesday, and usually I shut my phone down and everything. And by the time I turned my phone back on late in the evening, it was like all hell had broken loose in our nation once again, as there were riots in our nation's capital. And listen, I love the United States of America. And God is, I've had the opportunity to play for our country no less than five times. And I'm proud to be an American. But, man, we have to pray for our country. I feel like we've lost our way a bit, and we need to find true north. And here's the good news and why I'm excited about this series we've called the Purpose Trilogy is, do you know, I believe these three things, these simple focuses that if you can just set your mind on loving God, loving people, and loving mission, that you will begin to find true north once again. That, listen, I feel like this nation was founded in one nation under God, and yet it feels like now it's anything but that. In God we trust. Now we trust in what? We trust in politics. We trust in economics. We trust in vaccines, no vaccines. Listen, we have to get back to loving God. And listen, for me and my house, it's in God we're going to trust. We got to get back to loving people, man. And I don't mean just loving people that look like you or believe like you, but brothers, sisters, we gotta get back to just loving people. We can disagree with people and still deeply, deeply love people. And as well, man, I pray this is time for God's church to rally and shine in a dark and difficult time. Because listen, as you live your life on a mission, listen, I want to live my life on a mission that wherever I go, I bring redemption and reconciliation. In other words, wherever the Christ follower goes, he makes it better. And so will you just join me in praying for our nation briefly? And so, Lord, we just come together. Thank you virtually. Lord, even from around the world. And God, I pray for our nation right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would rule and reign. God, that you would give us grace and once again pour out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, may your church be a people that love God, love people, and live on mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, well, listen, we're going to take up the offering at the end of service. I want to get right into the message here this morning. And so our text this morning is going to be in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 19. And so let me read it. It's very simple and short, but I believe profound. That in 1 John, John, the apostle of love, says this: we love because he first loved us. In other words, Jesus made the first move. And so I want to spend the next several weeks just seeing the many different facets of what it looks like to love God. And today I want to start with this reality is the reason why we can even have the ability to love God is because he reached out and he loved us first. He made the first move. So I don't know how many of you can remember the movie Hitch. It's a kind of older film, Will Smith and Kevin James, hysterical. It's a classic. I highly recommend it. But it's funny, they were actually shooting that film outside our old apartment building in Manhattan. And I remember they shot that iconic scene where Will Smith is teaching Kevin James how to kiss his girl Allegra goodnight. Do you remember this? And so as Will Smith's kind of discipling him in the last kiss, that he says this, he tells Kevin James, if she's fidgeting with her keys, what does that mean? That means she wants to kiss goodnight. And he says, as that's your signal, he says, this is what you do, is you lean in real slow, 90% of the way, and then when you get to 90%, you stop and you wait. Kevin James is like, how long do you wait? He says, as long as it takes, which is even cooler, right? And so listen, and then what happens? She's to come the remaining 10%, and then we have the kiss. And so when I remember that iconic scene, it hit eerily close to home. If you'll just bear with me sharing a little bit of a personal story. I'm sure if you've been in the church any length of time, nothing new here. But listen, I only got one life, so give me a break. And so listen, Susan and I, my wife Susan of 30 years, I think it's 30 or is it 31, something like that. You get to be my age, you don't remember anymore. But my wife and I, we really met in a very roundabout way. Like we went to high school together. She was, I was 17, she was 18. She's a year older than me. Just thought you should know that. But we met at high school, but we never really, got a chance to kind of get together. And so until I actually met her at a party that someone was throwing in a neighborhood. And, I didn't have a car. And so I needed a ride home after the car, after the party. And so Susan Scott and her boyfriend, Steve, decided they would give me a ride home. And so my future wife was driving me home with her boyfriend by myself. Can you say loser, right? And so we did that. And it was funny. I was so, to be honest with you, I was kind of smitten with Susan because I thought, man, she is just drop-dead gorgeous. And I remember as she dropped me off, I went to the home I was living in. And there was another high school girl that lived at the home. And I said, I met the nicest girl today. Her name is Susan Scott. And then she ran to her room and she got out her yearbook. And then she pointed to Susan's picture and she says, is it her? And I said, yes. And she says, promise me you'll never go out with her. And I'm like, no problem, because she's way out of my league, right? And so for the record, ladies, I don't know if you know this, but guys love it when you tell them that they married over their head or they outkicked their coverage, right? We love that stuff. And for the record, I still believe that Susan is out of my league, all right? And I'm very proud of that. But as we go on, listen, time passed. And then fast forward to like 6 months after that, there was a young girl. Her name was Maureen, and she was a lockered next to me, and she happened to be good friends with this girl, Susan Scott. And Maureen said these words, and I didn't know it at the time, but it would forever change my life. And here's the words she said to me: if you ask her, she will say yes. And so there we were. I asked Susan out on a date. We went on a date and was nothing too eventful. But then as I dropped her off at home, I asked her this question: could I give you a kiss goodnight? And so I don't know how Will Smith would think I did, but she said yes. And I leaned in 90% of the way and waited. And she reciprocated 10% of the way. And we had our first kiss. Susan said this, that after that night, she knew right then and there that we would be married. I wish she would have told me, but a year or so after that, we indeed were married. And so the reason why I share this brief story with you is this: as we're talking about loving God, I need you to remember those words, that He made the first move, that Jesus, He's leaned in 100% of the way, waiting for you to make a step of faith. And remember those words that changed my life, and I pray they change you. If you ask Jesus into your life, He will say yes. And so I just want to make a case this morning for this, is that Jesus, He loved you first. And if there, He is the most worthy being in the cosmos to be loved. And so that's what I want to prove today. And so if you're a point taker, let's look at point number one is this, is that He loved you first, even before creation. Did you get that? Like, God loved you first, even before He created anything. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this, even as He being Jesus, chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. And so before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of anything, God set His love on you, that He wanted to adopt us at His as His children. And so, if you're a parent today, I both loathe you, and as well, I have a lot of pity or empathy for you. Having to homeschool and do that kind of stuff right now, totally get it. That's got to be a tough go. But there's parts of me that I get very jealous of the fact that all this technology you have right now, I see people's now their ultrasounds, like when people are expecting and they go to the doctor and they get this ultrasound, it's like some 3D movie that you get to see, like your kid that's still in the womb, mind you. It's like you get to FaceTime this little person on the inside of you. And so it's amazing. But back in our day, Susan and I, when Susan had her ultrasound and we got to see our firstborn in the womb, it just looked like some black blob. And I can remember be like, oh, there's his head. And the doctor's like, no, that's her foot. So surprise, it's a girl. And there must be this special bond between a child and the child's mother. To spend 9 months in the womb, it creates this unique bond between mother and child. I mean, it's so much so, if you don't believe me just for that reason, you just need to see, if you get a little infant baby projectile vomiting out or spitting up, like you can tell the dad, because the dad's going to stick the kid out like this, and the mom is going to lean in and like get it all on her type thing. And so there's a special maternal bond between a mother and their child. But here's something safe to say, that every parent, that we loved our children before they were born. But how cool is it, is this, and we just read it in the book of Ephesians, that God loved you before you were, before anything else was created. God, he loved you in His heart. He saw you in His imagination before He created anything at all. He loved you first. Get this. Number two is, He loved you first in creation. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. That's important. Without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so at creation, before anything was, the Bible is clear that the earth was formless and void. And what we're going to see, the loving Creator God do this, He's going to form stuff and fill it. He's going to form it and fill it. And so God creates a form. He creates everything out of nothing. I believe it's the term ex nihilo, from nothing. From the chaos, He creates the cosmos, order, right? God forms and fashions the earth. And I don't know if you realize it, but I mean, the earth is this perfect shape. It's the perfect form to fill life, that the earth is actually spinning on its axis 1,000 miles per hour. Did you know that this Earth is shooting through space at 67,000 miles per hour? And yet how amazing is the Creator God that He created such a smooth ride? Like, you and I aren't feeling that right now, are we? Why? Because God, He loved you first, and He created this perfect place to fill the earth with life. How about this? Do you know that we're the perfect distance from the sun? That if we were any closer, that we would burn up, or if we were any further away, that the earth would freeze and life could not thrive then. Or how about this? That when you think about our solar system, that the planets, did you know this, that Jupiter and Saturn, now scientists are realizing that they're strategically placed in such a way that their gravitational pull is actually blocking any large asteroids from hitting our planet. Why? Because God loved you first. He forms the earth, and now what's He going to do? He's going to fill it with life. And so we see that in the creation narrative, that He fills it with plants and vegetation. And how amazing is it that He forms it, and now plants are going to be the basis for this amazing biosphere that where you get the plants giving off oxygen, receiving nitrogen from the ground, carbon dioxide from humanity, and you see this beautiful orchestrated dance between the creation it just throbs life. And it's not only beautiful in function, but it's beautiful in form, isn't it? Like if you read the creation account, it says this, that the plant life He created, it was pleasant to the eyes. In other words, there's a beauty to God's creation. And listen, we don't live in some cosmic dump, though God could do that. But why didn't He? Because He's a loving God, and He created everything beautiful and wonderful to the glory of His name and for the good of those He loved. Right? And so, listen, if you've ever seen the beauty in nature, you know it's something very spiritual. It's transcendent. There's something soul-stirring about it. I was driving home the other morning after an early morning workout, and as the sun was just coming up, like the sky, it turned this color of pink. I can't even describe it to you. And it's like these pillowy clouds were actually accenting this canvas of the sky. And the colors begin to slowly change from this pink to this orange. And I literally had to pull my car over just so I could drink it all in. And so why? There's something spiritual about that. And there's something wonderful. And it's from a God who loved you first. He forms the creation. And now He begins to fill it with life. Not just plant life, right? That he says that He fills the earth with the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. And I don't know if you're paying attention, but have you ever seen like the creativity of our God? And so listen, I got to give you a couple examples. Like I was like Googling some of these crazy animals that are in the earth. Like have you ever seen this? And it should be up on our screen here. The Dumbo octopus. Are you seeing this? It looks like something from Pac-Man or something like that, right? The Dumbo octopus. Here's another one. The Yeti crab. Are you seeing this thing? Like it looks like a sloth and a hermit crab had a baby. And here's what I know. I want one of those, right? The Yeti crab. And then lastly, and this is one of my favorite. This is for all you hunters out there taking this all in. Have you seen this? It's the tufted deer. The tufted deer. If you ask me, it looks like a vampire deer, right? So listen, I wouldn't want to be messing with that thing with big fangs hanging out. And so how amazing is God? And here's what makes it even better is that isn't even the pinnacle of His creation, but you and I are, as He created and formed and fashioned humanity. So let's look at it. He forms the earth. He fills it. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. David, the great psalmist, he says this. Psalm 139, he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. And so we see David understanding just the love of God in creating you and I, that he references our frame, that our physical being. Like did you know that the human skeletal system, and listen, I don't want this to be like Bill Nye the Science Guy, but you need to feel the love of God in just the creation of your very body. Like that your skeletal system, do you know this? That you renew your skeletal system every 10 years. Like you are Wolverine, okay? And I don't know if you know this, but your frame, your skeletal system, that your bones are 5 times stronger than steel. Like how amazing is God? That the human heart, that it beats 3 billion times in your lifetime. And that every time that heart beats, it's nothing but God telling you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Do you know that God is in the details of his creation, of you, the formation of you? Like I always talk about this one, but do you know that you have roughly 250 hairs in your eyebrows? But did you notice that God's in the details? And he formed your eyebrows in such a way that sweat doesn't get in your eyes. That's a benevolent, loving creator. Did you notice that the fastest muscles that you have in your body are actually your eyelids? Why? Because God wants to protect your sight. That you blink around 11,500 times per day. Why? Because a loving God did not want your eyes to get dry and burning. Why? God loved you first in the creation. That David goes on and he says, you're not only your frame, but he says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't know who this is for this morning, but did you know this? Do you know that there's roughly 46 chromosomes that make us up as human beings, and you get 23 from your father, 23 from your mother. The odds on the specific 20 or 46 chromosomes that you get, listen, are 1 in 100 trillion. One in 100 trillion. So listen to me. You're not 1 in a million. You are 1 in 100 trillion. And you are wonderfully and uniquely made by God. Does God love us all equally? Absolutely. But he also loves us uniquely because you've been uniquely and wonderfully made by your wonderful creator. Jesus made the first move. How about this? Number three, he loves you first through the fall. Or even through sin. And so the first two commandments in your Bible, I don't know how God gets such a bad rap, but it's this. It's to be fruitful and multiply is the first command. What a great command that is. And then number two is this. He places Adam and Eve in the garden and he says, eat, eat, freely eat. And then we get the third command, which is this. Just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Unfortunately, we know the rest of the story. Adam and Eve rebel against God. It's cosmic treason. It's spiritual adultery that they commit against God. And God warned them. He says, you're going to surely die if this happens. But how amazing is it and merciful of God that we see that, in fact, they don't die. But what happens? That God, he kills an animal, the blood of an innocent one, and would give them skins to wear to cover over their sin and their shame. But God reminds us of this. Things aren't like they should be. And you only got to look around to figure that out because we live in a Genesis 3 world. And in Genesis 3:17, God explains the mess we can find ourselves in at times. He says, Adam, because you've done this, the earth is cursed. It's just broken. But here is the goodness of God. That despite our sin, he gives us a sacrifice. He gives us covering, which is symbolic of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice coming to us. And as well, he does this. He gives us common grace. It's as if the love of God seeps through the curse of living in a sinful, broken world. And we get air to breathe. We get laughter. We get joy. We get pleasure. And then there's moments when sin and the curse take effect, don't they? Listen, we're globally feeling it, this COVID-19 virus. And listen, now we're starting to realize that air, the fact that we get to breathe, is nothing but the grace of God. That if you've ever had the COVID virus and you realize you lose your sense of smell, your sense of taste, you realize that those are nothing but a common grace and gift from God. That we're reminded, if you've survived COVID, you realize this, that life is nothing but a gift from God. And so God made the first move, even through the fall and through sin. The Lord's brother is a man by the name of James. And James, he spent some 33 years with Jesus. And how amazing is it that James would echo these words as he looked at the life of his brother Jesus. And he would say this, you know, that every good and perfect gift, it comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Listen, God loves you, and God made the first move even through our sin. Number four is this, that he loved you first in the chase. I don't know if you know this, but there's a chase going on that God has called the hound of heaven, and God is in pursuit of sinful people. Listen, not to damn them, but rather to save them. God has come to rescue. You remember the moment Adam and Eve sinned. What does God do? God is on the pursuit of Adam. And we read these words, Adam, where are you? I want to share this story. I'm ripping it off from a guy by the name of Matt Chandler. He's a great pastor down in Dallas. And Matt Chandler, he tells this personal story where he was ministering to a young girl. She was a single mom, and she had kind of lived a bit of a promiscuous life, and he was trying to minister to her, and he wanted her to become a Christian. And so he took her to this outdoor Christian conference, like thousands of young people there, and so he was really excited that she was going to hear the gospel, but she didn't necessarily hear the gospel. And so one of the speakers who got up, he was advocating true love waits, just speaking against premarital sex, which is right. It's just not the gospel. And so he did this example, and he grabbed this beautiful, pristine rose. And as he grabbed it and he showed it to the thousands of young kids, and then he set it out into the crowd, and he says, here, I want you to handle this rose and pass it around to the person next to you and next to you. And then he just began to go on with his talk until after some time into his talk, and he says, now, where's my rose? And by the time he got the rose back, this rose was just beaten. It was bent. All the petals were off of it. And then he just shows this dirty rose. He says, now, who would want this rose? And he threw it to the ground. And then he just went on with his talk. And so Matt Chandler says this, that he looked down at his girl, this girl that he brought, and you could see the shame in her eyes. And then these words came to him. He says, listen, Jesus wants the dirty rose. Listen, Jesus came to save sinners like you and me. It's the reason why he came. Like there was a woman in John chapter 8. She's caught in the very act of adultery, wrecking her home, her family, her household. And yet, what does Jesus do? He doesn't condemn her, but he draws near to her. Why? Because Jesus wants the rose. That there's a demon-possessed man in Luke chapter 8. He was playing around in dark things until dark things took hold of him, until he was harming himself and those around him. And yet, what does Jesus do? He didn't condemn the man. Rather, he drew near to him. See, because why? Jesus wants the rose. The reason why Jesus came was because he wants the dirty rose, like you and me. And he's going to make us clean again because Jesus made the first move. And listen, here's our last point is this. He loved you first in his cross. Jesus displayed his love for you and I in the cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says this. But God shows his love for us, or demonstrates his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, to be loved but not be fully known is terrifying. It's unnerving. It leads to nothing but insecurity. Like if you're pretending you're receiving love but you're not fully known, you're terrified. Because you wonder, if someone really knew something about me, would they still give me their love? A sociologist says that we all fall prey to this. It's called the imposter syndrome, that we all realize that we put on this facade, and that if people know we're not as smart as you think we are, we're not as funny as you think we are, we're not as nice as you think we are, that if you knew the real me, that you might withhold. Pull back on your love. And listen, it's exhausting to put up the front. I remember I was in an athletic ministry. I was ministering to one of the Philadelphia 76ers just right up the turnpike. And I remember I was driving up to meet this guy, a big 7-foot center. And I was meeting he and his wife for dinner. I hadn't met his wife yet. And so we were going to this restaurant in downtown Philadelphia. And so I was driving up, so I just had sweatpants on and stuff, and I got changed in the car, got dressed up in the car. But what I didn't realize is I had taken a brand new shirt that my wife had bought me, and the sensor was still on it. And it was this ginormous sensor, and it wasn't on the back or on the sleeve. It was right smack in the middle. And so I had this dilemma. I had to get into dinner. I didn't have another shirt. And so I went in. And I spent the entire evening covering over that sensor. I got the menu up high, and I just kept doing it. And to be quite honest with you, it was exhausting. Until later in the evening, I felt safe in our relationship. And I could show them, hey, you want to see something funny? And I showed them the sensor. We laughed, but it was such a freeing moment. To have to not keep hiding. And how wonderful is the love of God that we can be fully known, the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of you. Like the ugly parts that no one knows, but God knows. And yet Jesus still chose to come down. It's the reason why he went to the cross. It was for you and for me, for the ugly parts of us. Because Jesus loves us unconditionally. And so let me go all the way back to the story we started off with. You remember my locker partner, Maureen? Do you remember what she said? She said that if you ask her, she's going to say yes. And this is kind of the point in our time this morning where some of you are going to have to make a decision. What are you going to do about Jesus? Like you have two choices here. You can repent and receive his love, or you can reject and remain in your sin. But you're going to have to choose what to do. And I want to remind you of those words from Maureen. Listen, if you ask him, Jesus will come. He loved you first. He's leaned in 90% of the way, and now he's waiting for you as an act of faith to confess and repent as a sinner in need of grace. And if you do, you will receive the kiss of heaven. And so, listen, if that's you this morning, if you would like to know Jesus Christ, if you would like to be that rose made clean by Almighty God, by the shed blood of Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer for you. If you would like, you can repeat this very simple prayer, or you can just type into the chat box, amen, that your act of faith. And so let me pray for you. Jesus, I confess this morning that I am a sinner. I am that dirty rose in need of cleansing. Lord, I repent of my sin, and I ask you now to come into my heart, to be my Savior, and to be my Lord, who I look to, obey, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer, I sure would like to hear about it. We actually have a thing called virtual hospitality that at 11 a.m. this morning, there'll be a Zoom conference call that comes up on your screen immediately after our service today. And you can actually Zoom call in and meet with a pastor. We would love to hear if you prayed that prayer, or maybe you had some questions about the message or our church. So we'd want to invite you to join us in our virtual hospitality. Or if you're in need of prayer, you can join us for a virtual prayer right here on our Facebook live feed at 11 a.m. You can pray with an actual prayer counselor. Two things before we sign off this morning, and that is this. Tomorrow, January 11th, we are going to begin our season of prayer and fasting. And so from January 11th to the 15th, we're going to pray twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. We have a prayer conference call as well. We have a prayer and fasting booklet with little Bible studies and things you can follow along. If you would like that, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and you can download a digital version of that, or you can come to our church and pick up a hard copy of it. And then here's the last thing I want to remind us of, the tithe and the offering. If you're a member of our church, you know that we believe that the first tenth, it belongs to Jesus, and it's simply called the tithe. And but maybe you're a guest here with us. And listen, if Every Nation New Jersey has been a blessing to you, if you would like to bless us with a financial gift, this is good soil that will produce good fruit. There's actually three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, just hit the giving icon, or you can go to you can text in to our texting platform. Just text 277977, text the letters ENCNJ to that. I just butchered that, all right? So text ENCNJ to the number 77977. It's the green T, all right? Get off of me. Or you can mail in your gift to 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. As well, this is the last day that you can give to our Multiply financial giving campaign. Listen, you want to be a part of all God's going to do in and through this gift. Those that give freely will
receive freely. Thanks for listening
freely.
To the Every Nation
Listen,
New
God
Jersey
God bless you,
podcast.
Every Nation. God
for
loves
more
you,
information
and
on
I think
our
you're
church,
pretty great, too.
Or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.